to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is New York Times best-selling author, board-certified psychiatrist, and distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association. He's the medical director for psychiatric services at Lake Charles Memorial Hospital in Louisiana. And we're going to discuss his latest book, The ADHD Advantage. And Dr. Friedman, I don't know if you know anybody with ADHD, if you have friends that have kids that have ADD and ADHD, but it can really play havoc on families. So I'm just wondering if you think that we're going to be discussing natural alternatives to ADHD medications or what this topic is really about.
Yeah, I think that more and more people are leaning toward natural alternatives. I read the study. It's $9 billion a year spent on medications for ADHD.
It's crazy.
$9 billion. I mean, you know. That's what Trump has in his bank accounts, a lot of money. And it's, you know, a lot of that is wasted. I believe that it's a panacea. A lot of people are just prescribed that, and some of them don't need it. And as you know, a lot of it's prescribed or actually taken from people that don't have the disease, that just feel better on the drugs.
Wow, it's such an interesting topic. And here to discuss his latest book, The ADHD Advantage, welcome to the show, Dr. Dale Archer. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Welcome to the show, Doc.
Hey, here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to the show. And before we talk about the advantage of ADHD, share with the listeners just briefly, what is ADHD?
So ADHD is essentially the acronym for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. And the symptoms are pretty much what the name would imply. You have trouble with attention, focus, concentration, hyperactivity can be present. A condition I think that can be best understood as being very, very easily bored with routine, and this leads to the problems with focus and concentration.
I read that you described the symptoms of just pure boredom, and they have to keep their brain active all the time. There are so many, I was reading, many overachievers with ADHD. I mean, the list includes Jim Carrey, Howie Mandel, Richard Branson, Michael Phelps, to Vincent Van Gogh. I mean, that's a big list. So ADHD is often described as a disability. Shouldn't it be referred to proudly as this ability?
I think it should be looked at as a difference as opposed to a disability. So
right, this
it's
ability.
a different way of thinking, different way of learning, different way of reacting, processing. And I think that's what's missing in the conversation. Everyone knows about the distractibility and the poor focus and the poor concentration, mm-hmm. on and on.
Right.
No one is talking about the fact, hey, there are a lot of advantages that go along with this trait as well.
Yeah, what are some of the hidden advantages attributed to ADHD?
There's a long list. So you're looking at high energy, ability to multitask well, creativity, nonlinear thinking, athletic ability. One study shows that there are twice as many adult ADHDers that are Major League Baseball players as opposed to the general population. More resilient. High energy. There's really a long list. Where the trouble comes is that often you're talking to people and they say, well, I don't have that. It needs to be understood that much like the disabilities that may go along with the condition, the abilities also are individually specific. So ADHD occurs along a continuum. It's not an on-off switch. It's not you have 6 of 9 symptoms, you have the diagnosis, you have 5, you don't. It occurs from symptoms from 1 to 10. So 1 is very, very mild, going up to 10, and 10 plus is severe. And the advantages are much the same way. So in different individuals, they can have on the advantage spectrum a few, all the way up to many that are very, very productive for them.
Right. In the beginning, we talked about the $9 billion spent per year on the medications. Is there any natural remedies or exercises, mental routines that people can do, or are they stuck getting these prescriptions?
Yeah, the medications are really a problem because not only the $9 billion, which is, of course, from last year. But if you go back to 1980, the diagnosis didn't even exist until then. So you're talking about over 30-some-odd years going from zero up to $9 billion. And if you look over the last 10 to 15 years, that's gone up roughly fivefold during that period of time.
Wow.
So overdiagnosed over-medicated, over-treated, and yeah, there are a whole host of things that help the ADHDer with their focus and concentration. You mentioned exercise, and exercise is phenomenal. It's probably one of the best ways. And, you know, we know that it's genetic. We know it's linked to a low dopamine tone in the brain. And so things that raise the dopamine tone, medications do, but many natural things do as well, exercise being one that's extremely effective.
Yeah, but now when you mention that $9 billion, it's becoming a money-generating machine for Big Pharma. Wouldn't that make it difficult for those with ADHD to find doctors that choose a more natural route?
Well, it's certainly been indicated to me with the writing of this book and some of the backlash that I've received as being an anti-medication doctor, and what kind of doctor are you, and how you can you further the stigma of these people who need to be helped, and medicines treat everything. So, yeah, I think that the problems are multifold there in that, first of all, the majority of ADHD prescriptions are not written by psychiatrists. They're written by family practitioners, pediatricians, OBGYNs, non-psychiatric medical professionals. So that's number one. And typically they don't have therapists in their office. They don't have a therapy track that they can plug these folks into. So unfortunately for psychiatry, it's not much better, because back when I trained, we got 50% therapy training, 50% in medication training. Many psychiatrists graduating today get little psychotherapy at all. So the training is not really there to support it. So you're absolutely right. It's getting harder and harder to be able to go in somewhere to get a diagnosis and to have options offered to you other than a pill.
Right. Dr. Friedman, can I jump in here really quick? Dr. Archer, when you speak about exercise, that you mentioned just exercise so far, but I know so many parents with children with really severe ADHD where they cannot control those emotional impulses at school, and they get kicked out of camp classes, and they throw chairs, and they do all these things because all these feelings and things are going on besides exercise. Please, can you give us some other all-natural alternatives to the medications that can help these children to deal with those emotional outbursts and those impulses that they can't seem to control?
Well, first of all, I think a diagnosis is important, because many of the things that you're saying are not classic ADHD symptoms. Number two, there are schools, private schools at this point, that are leading the charge in terms of working with these kids, Fusion Academy being one, Beacon Hill out of Boston being another. And they refuse to consider it a disorder. They're just saying, look, these kids learn differently, and we have to teach differently. So, for example, the ADHD brain becomes very bored with things that are routine. If we're interested in or we're excited in something, then we can focus all day long. But if we're not, it becomes a challenge, very, very difficult. So one thing they do is they break the classes up into 15-minute classes. You have very short classes, and then you repeat throughout the day until you're done, keeping the brain from becoming bored. They do incorporate exercise into the routine so that they do have recesses, they do have PE. During lunch, there's physical activity. In between classes, they'll have the kids walk around the building and do various types of physical exertion in order to help them focus better. Homework is the same type of deal. You break it up into small blocks and repeat until done. ADHD brains work much better in a hands-on situation as opposed to a lecturer sitting up in front of them and telling them the things that they need to know. So those are what the cutting-edge schools are doing to be able to work with these kids. And I often tell the ADHD parent and the kids, if you can survive your early education, you're probably going to do all okay. By the time you get to college, you're taking what you want, you've learned the techniques that work for you, you walk in between classes, you have breaks in between, you're not going nonstop. So many is the kid who will struggle all the way through high school, get to college, and then all of a sudden they'll thrive. And we used to say, oh, you outgrow the ADHD. Now we know you learn to deal with it, you learn what works for you, and then college becomes a haven for many.
It's such great information. Thank you so much, Dr. Archer. To get your copy of The ADHD Advantage, you can go to drdalearcher.com. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks for listening. Stay well and stay tuned.